All right, on this week's Press Box podcast, I'm joined by Scott Wright of NFLDraftCountdown.com. And, of course, a busy weekend, certainly for the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. But we do want to talk about the Missouri Tigers as well. Scott, we talked with you last year. Appreciate you taking time to visit with us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Are you getting caught up on sleep now after a busy weekend?
I am. For a while there, I was getting a 2 to 4 hour range, so 6 to 8 hours was like a dream.
That's absolutely crazy. All right, well, let's start first. We have fans all over the state that are Missouri Tiger fans. Six players drafted this year, the most of any Big 12 team. Any surprises in terms of, from where you see it, in terms of the players that did get picked?
I think the big surprise was that Jeremy Maclin fell as far as he did. I don't think anybody envisioned him falling to 19, but I think that was a product of Al Davis's craziness more so than anything, more than an indictment against Jeremy Macklin's talent. I think everybody, almost universally, everybody had Maclin as a top 10 talent, but then when the Raiders went off the board and went with Darius Hayward Bay, and then there just simply wasn't really a need. Teams didn't really have a need for a wide receiver. Crabtree went 10, and Maclin slipped a little further than expected, but he went into a good situation. He's at a good organization, so you might end up being a blessing in disguise at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was talking with some guys here at work. They said that they had heard Andy Reid, the head coach of the Eagles, say that, you know, they never really interviewed Maclin at all because they didn't figure that he would even be around. So when he kind of fell into their lap, they jumped at it and thought it was a great opportunity. Now, I don't know if I'm concerned about this or in terms of Jeremy Macklin's case, or if I look at this in a positive light, but they have a lot of receivers. Now, does he get lost in the shuffle, or did they take him because the receivers they have aren't that good and he may be able to step in and produce for them right away?
Well, and that would be my one concern, too, is that he might be a little similar in terms of the stuff he does to DeSean Jackson. He's a lot bulkier. He's got about 20, 30 pounds on DeSean Jackson, but he's kind of that dynamic playmaker, the return man. But the Eagles, they have quantity at wide receiver. They don't have quality. And Kevin Curtis is a nice player. He's not a number one receiver. DeSean Jackson is a nice player. He's not a number one wide receiver. So maybe in Maclin, they have a guy that has the potential to be that. But it's not like I don't know that Macklin's going to come in and catch 80 balls for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns as a rookie or anything like that. But they're going to use him in a lot of different ways, and they're going to be able to run him on bubble screens and just get the ball in his hands, because both him and DeSean Jackson, those are two guys that defenses need to account for on every play and know where they are on the field.
Ziggy Hood, defensive line, he was picked up in the first round, last pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know they've got some veterans on that line. I think his stock really rose, you know, even though I followed him on a weekly basis. You know, you heard of Ziggy Hood, you know he was good, but boy, I was really surprised that he was a first round pick. I think his stock really went up at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, and I think also Ziggy Hood, for me, he was more of a second-round value, and I think in a lot of years he probably would have been an early to mid-second-round pick, but this wasn't necessarily a great defensive tackle class, and he was clearly the number three guy after B.J. Raji and Parre Jerry, so I think that helped push him up a little bit, and there was the potential that he could even go higher than that. I know the Atlanta Falcons really liked him, and if they hadn't been able to land Parre Jerry at 24, Ziggy Hood might have ultimately ended up going there. So he went. I think he was. I wasn't surprised that he went in the first round, and he went into a good situation. He's going to move to defensive end in Pittsburgh in their 3-4 defense, which was a move that had been talked about in regards to him for quite a while. And it's a good situation. He's going to fit in with that organization perfectly. He's got the type of intangibles that they look for, and is not going to be counted on to be an instant starter, impact player day one in Pittsburgh, because they have a couple of good guys still in Aaron Smith and Brett Kiesel. And the reason Hood was drafted is because their top five defensive linemen are all over 30 years old, all three starters and the top two backups. So Ziggy Hood was kind of a pick for, I think, 2010 or 2011, more than this year. He'll be more of a situational rotational guy this year.
With us on this week's Press Box podcast, we've got Scott Wright from NFL Draft Countdown. com. We're talking about the Missouri Tigers. We'll talk about the Chiefs and the Rams. In the second round, William Moore, the safety, he got picked up. Chase Kaufman, the tight end, in the third round. Colin Brown, fifth round, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then Stryker Shulock, sixth round, to the Oakland Raiders. I don't think any surprises there. What I want to ask you, from an outsider looking in at the Missouri program, I hit it on the head. A lot of people thought that Chase Daniel here would be picked, maybe late sixth, seventh round. I said, look, he's not going to get drafted at all. He does sign a free agent contract with the Washington Redskins, but as an outsider, what was the impression of Chase Daniel heading into the draft?
I mean, he's a heck of a college football player. You can't take anything away from the career he had in college, but marginal pro prospect. And in my opinion, if he was drafted, it would have been based on his name more so than his ability. And he's got a camp. He's going to have an opportunity to make a team, but I think at best he's going to be a number three type quarterback in the NFL. I just don't see that he has the ability to play in the NFL and be a significant player. So I wouldn't have been shocked if he was a seventh round pick, but I'm not shocked they wasn't drafted either.
Scott, how does it work? Now, he signs a free agent contract. What type of money are we talking about? And, how does that work? If he makes the team, or do you know how that all shakes out?
Yeah, and in terms of the money, it's not much. Very rarely the top undrafted free agents will get $25,000 as a signing bonus. Very rarely. And sometimes I think the average is about $5,000, and there's plenty that get under $1,000 because at that point, a lot of times they're just looking for an opportunity. And that's all you can ask for is an opportunity when you go undrafted. And now if there's a dozen teams that are after you trying to sign you, well, then maybe you have a little leverage and you can get a little more than expected from teams. But by and large, you're not signing for the money. You're signing for the opportunity. And he'll get the opportunity to compete for a job, but he might have an uphill battle there. They have Colt Brennan, who they drafted last year, who they like. So he might be a guy who has to shoot for a practice squad spot.
Yeah, in addition, they also picked up Joe Gans. They're inviting him along as well. He's the quarterback at Nebraska, so Missouri fans are certainly familiar with him. All right, let's shift to the Rams, and let's talk about their number one pick, number two overall in the draft, Jason Smith, offensive tackle from Baylor. Looks like he's going to be the guy that replaces Orlando Pace, certainly a need that the team had to address. Is he the right guy? What can we expect from him?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the right pick, and that was what everybody knew. That was the worst kept secret in the NFL, that the Rams were going to take an offensive tackle there. And the more in the draft, all this talk about the Rams taking Mark Sanchez, merely a ploy trying to get somebody to trade up there. There was no way they were ever taking Mark Sanchez. Jason Smith was the guy they wanted, and it's a good fit for them, and a very safe pick. You're going to plug Jason Smith in, and you got your starting off left tackle for the next 10 years. So I think it was a really good move for them. And Jason Smith, he's not Orlando Pace. He's not John Ogden. I don't even know that he's Jake Long from last year. But he's just going to be a very good left tackle and still has a lot of potential. And he's going to be a lot better football player 2 to 3 years from now than he is right now. And he's already pretty darn good. So I think that was a very good job by the Rams. And I also really like what they did in the second round, getting James Laurinaitis. I think that was another great pick for them.
Yeah, what's he going to bring? Obviously, I mean, they had to focus on defense. Their first four picks were all defensive players. If you watch the Rams, folks, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, missed tackles, guys blowing past them. I mean, they couldn't hit anything. So they certainly had to focus on defense. What will a guy like that linebacker at Ohio State bring to this defense?
Well, and James Laurinaitis, if he had come out after his junior season, he probably would have been a top 10 pick. Worst case, top 15. So, you know, you look at it from that perspective, he lost a lot of money, but it allowed the Rams to get a very good talent at the top of the second round, and he may never be a superstar. He's not going to be Ray Lewis or a guy like that, but he also has a very high floor. You know what you're getting with him. There's no chance that he's not going to at least be a very good NFL starter, and I think you're going to plug him in. He has the ability to play the weak side, but I think they're going to plug him in the middle, and he's going to be the leader and really the captain of that defense, I think. And I think it was a great move. And you look at similar situations, D'Amico Ryans, Paul Posluszny, both guys that everybody thought were first-round picks. They fell to the top of the second round and are having great careers in the NFL. And I think James Laurinaitis could have that same type of scenario happen with him.
Laurinaitis, could he be the type of player like a fellow teammate, A.J. Hawk, who now plays with Green Bay, that type of a player, just to kind of give our fans a perspective?
I think they're a little different. I think Hawk was a better prospect coming out, a little more athletic, a little faster. But Hawk was more of an outside guy, whereas Laurinaitis is more of an inside guy. But the thing about Laurinaitis is he's the type who does everything well. And whether it be playing the run, dropping into coverage, he can do it all. And that's kind of the nice thing about James Laurinaitis.
We're talking with Scott Wright from NFLDraftCountdown.com. We are, of course, analyzing the Missouri Tigers, the St. Louis Rams. All right, on to the Chiefs. They had the number three pick. A lot of people thought they should have gone with the linebacker Curry out of Wake Forest, but, you know, when they were picking up guys like Zach Thomas, they had the trade where they brought in Mike Vrabel. I didn't see that as being a necessity. Instead, they go with defensive end Tyson Jackson from LSU. Did they do this to kind of match him back up with Glenn Dorsey? What was their thoughts? They're going with a 3-4 defense. They say he's one of the best 3-4 defensive ends. What do you know about him?
Well, and that pick kind of had people scratching their heads, and it's drawn some criticism. And everybody kind of assumed Aaron Curry was going to go there, but Aaron Curry's not a good fit for a 3-4 defense. He's a 4-3 strong side linebacker, and moving him inside in a 3-4, it's a projection. And Tyson Jackson, he was a legitimate top 10 pick. He was going to go in the top 10 to 12 picks. And sure, Scott Pioli, I'm sure he would have loved to have traded down a little bit and still got him later, but it takes two to tangle. And if nobody wants to come up to number three, then there's not much you can do about it. And Tyson Jackson, the thing people have to understand, too, is they probably saw rankings with Tyson Jackson listed as the number two defensive end, number three defensive end, but each team stacks their draft board differently based on their philosophy and their schemes. And you know, I had Tyson Jackson as my number two defensive end in this draft, but if I were stacking a draft board for a 3-4 team, he would have been number one, and number two wouldn't have even been close. He would have been clear-cut number one 3-4 defensive end in this draft. He's a prototypical five technique, and you look at Scott Pioli, he values that position. When he was in New England, they took Richard Seymour, number six overall. They took Ty Warren, number 13 overall. So that helped. That's how he built that New England franchise, using early picks on those defensive linemen. So you can make the case that Tyson Jackson was a slight reach, but I don't think it was nearly as bad of a pick as maybe some have made it out to be.
Alex McGee was taken in the third round, defensive tackle from Purdue. Again, it looks like they're looking for some inside pass rushing ability. Is he going to be able to contribute right away? Are they going to be able to get him into the mix as a rookie?
Well, yeah, in a 4-3, he can play defensive tackle, but when they make the full-time switch to 3-4, he's going to be a defensive end. And that's actually what he played as a senior at Purdue. And it surprised me a little bit that they took him to be that guy, because he had a disappointing senior season playing that position. I thought he looked much better at defensive tackle early in his career, and then at the Senior Bowl when he kicked back inside to tackle. I wasn't overly impressed with him as a defensive end, so that left me scratching my head a little bit. I thought he was a legitimate second or third round value, but I liked him more as a 4-3 defensive tackle.
So they'll rotate him in there with Jackson and then Tamba Hali, who had a real good year for the Chiefs last season.
Yeah, and Tamba Hali, he's probably going to have to go out to outside linebacker in a 3-4. And that's the thing, too, the Chiefs, they're essentially going to be running a hybrid this year, because they know they don't have the personnel to run a true, strictly 3-4 defense. They're going to be doing basically what the Arizona Cardinals did. And there's going to be some situations where they're running 4-3, some where they're running 3-4. And McGee gives them some versatility when they do that.
So where do you see both the Rams and the Chiefs as you analyze and kind of look at who they picked, where they fall in with the rest of the league in terms of if you had to rank them?
Well, I think both did well, and a couple other guys, too, for the Chiefs, just to touch on quick. Donald Washington, the cornerback that they ended up taking in the fourth round, very talented guy, and you can make the case that he's more physically talented than Malcolm Jenkins, who was the 14th overall pick in the draft. And he had some off the field issue late in his sophomore year, and he ended up losing his starting job. But had he gone back and stayed clean, he was looking like a future first round pick. So that could end up being a very good pick for them. Also in round six, Quentin Lawrence, the wide receiver from McNeese State, a real interesting guy as well. So they got a couple of good late round picks there. And for the Rams too, their third round pick is another guy I really like, Bradley Fletcher out of Iowa. Just a one-year starter, but physically he has everything you look for, and I really like the Rams. Their first three picks were almost as good as any teams in the league. So I haven't assigned my grades yet. I'm still kind of going through and digesting it all, but I think the Rams are probably in the top probably 7 to 10 teams, I think, in terms of the teams that I like what they did, and the Chiefs are firmly in the top half of the league. So I think both teams did solid jobs.
Boy, that's great stuff. NFLDraftCountdown.com. If you want to check it out, Scott Wright joining us on this week's Press Box podcast. Thanks as always, and we will talk to you in the future.
Oh, my pleasure.